Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with David Tagliano and Walker Wildman. We encourage you to visit our Today's Issues Facebook page. You can comment there on the show, and you can watch the show, and Walker is also posting the articles that we talk about here, stories, so that you can have the same information we use to talk about these stories that are in the news. You can have them for yourself. We want to make that available to you. And people take advantage of that, don't they, Walker?
Absolutely. We have a lot of supporters that go to our Facebook page and a lot of people who comment on the stories and share their thoughts. So that's a good thing.
All right. Dr. Alex McFarland will be coming up at 15 after the hour. Who knows what we'll talk to Dr. McFarland about. I've got a couple of questions for him. We're not too far away from Easter. I have a couple Easter-related questions I want to talk to him about. But from our AFR newsroom, Steve Jordahl.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You're thank Steve, you. Too.
I'm Steve as well.
Yeah, we had Steve 1 on earlier, and now here's Steve 2.
And if Dr. McFarland is going to be on the air in a little bit, I have a pain in my arm. I'd like to
see if... Well, he's not that kind of doctor, but
darn.
Maybe he'd probably give it a shot. Yeah, maybe. Want to hang around and ask your question.
I'm open to any advice there.
Aleve, Advil, something like that.
Well, I know one time I went to the doctor, and I put my finger on my shoulder, and I said, it hurts when I do this. And then I put my finger on my back. I said, it hurts when I do this. And I put my finger on my leg. I said, it hurts when I do this. He said, well, you got a broken finger.
Yeah.
That was the problem there. I didn't even know.
Was that a joke?
It was a joke. Yeah. Pretty old joke, actually, but apparently.
I thought it was a joke, but then I thought,
if you have to ask.
Yeah. I thought it was a joke. All right. We've got something serious happening in London right now, right?
Yeah, some breaking news over across the pond. There's a couple things that have happened. A car plowed through a bunch of pedestrians on the Westminster Bridge. This is right next to where Parliament meets. And a person has been shot, a knife-wielding person has been shot after a couple stabbings inside the... it would be inside the compound that is Parliament. It wasn't inside the building, but he got in at least as far. It would be like somebody jumping the fence at the White House and getting into the yard.
These are two separate incidents?
Well, that's what's unclear right now. It's likely, and I stress that this – I don't know this for sure. They haven't sorted it out yet. It's likely that somebody was in a car, rammed down a bunch of people, and then got out with a knife and then ran into – the
sounds
House of
like
Parliament,
an Islamic but, jihadist to me.
Well, it says an Asian man, they're saying. Not that that couldn't be an Asian.
Well, no, and I'm looking
jihadist.
At the headline now that's running on Fox News. We have a television in our studio that has Fox News on it. London police are saying we are treating this as a terrorist incident until we know otherwise.
And so, that's just smart to do.
Right.
You know, and not that they would – certainly they're going to treat the injured the same way, whether it's a right. terrorist incident or not. But Parliament is on lockdown. The Prime Minister was on site. She was whisked – he?
She.
She was
Theresa whisked, May.
Theresa May was whisked away, as the Secret Service here would do. Were it President Trump or another protectee. So stuff breaking over there. It looks like a possible terrorist attack. But as always, when something is breaking like this, the numbers are unreliable at this point as far as the number of injured or dead. They have shot the assailant. I don't know if they killed him or not. Lot of stuff.
It is.
It is a he. Reportedly. And
The reason I said what I said is this has happened over Europe multiple times, especially was it Nice or Nice?
Yeah.
Nice.
France,
right.
Where the promenade, guy got in the truck and just mowed down people, Islamic jihadist.
Right.
Guy in Germany did this,
right.
Islamic jihadist. So this is a way that the jihadists are using to terrorize people in Europe. Mm-hmm. is taking vehicles and mowing people down, and this is what's happened here. It makes you immediately think this is another act
right.
of jihad.
And I'm sure they're probably, police are probably interviewing witnesses. Did the individual say anything? Did he, right. you know, did he shout Allahu yeah. Akbar?
That's
you know,
what they typically do.
Yeah, that's what they, that's so I'm sure they're interviewing witnesses, people at the scene. And like you said, we don't know if the man was shot and killed. If he's alive, then they'll question him.
Those details will ferret themselves out yeah. as we go along through the day.
Every time one of these incidents happen, and they happen frequently, especially in Europe, we look across there, and I think a lot of Americans go, you know what? This is what President Trump is trying to protect us against.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a noble thing for a mm-hmm. president to look and say, you know, I don't want this to come to America.
Right.
And what's happened with Europe is they've allowed all these people to immigrate into their countries and unvetted.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have an advantage here in the U.S. in that we have an ocean
right.
Between us. The people in Europe, they don't. So you get these migrants coming up from Islamic countries,
mm-hmm.
Islamic-dominant countries in the Middle East. And many of them are just fleeing the wars
right.
over there. They don't have any ill intentions towards people in the West. But they come to the West, Europe, because they know they're going to get handouts. And they know they're it's going to be a better life than, say, going to Saudi Arabia.
Right.
So they don't go to their – they don't. Go, ironically, the Muslims in the Middle East don't go to Muslim countries to immigrate.
No.
They want to go to Christian countries, Christian – by Christian, I mean Christian historically.
Western
Christian yeah. countries.
Well, plus in Europe, you have a Muslim country in NATO, all right? You have Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And, now there's been a squabble that's been brewing between, I guess Erdogan is he a prime minister or president of Turkey?
President
of Turkey. He's mm-hmm. been in a squabble with the Netherlands, I think. And one threat he made, he said, because there's access from Turkey into Europe, he said, I'll send 15,000 migrants day or a month
into
or something
Europe.
Into Europe.
Wow.
He said, if you don't, you know, back down.
Well, in 2015, there was a Paris theater attack, an attack at several different locations in Paris.
I was actually in Paris that day.
Really?
Were you really?
Yeah.
Wow, but, where were you? How
I was
far away?
We were about 5 miles away from okay. the theater when it was attacked, but it was interesting because the original reports, and I'm reminded with this London report how inaccurate most original
right.
things are, but the original thing we heard was that there was a shooting within about 200 yards of where we were eating dinner that night. It turned out not to be true, but that was quite the night. People in Paris, they eat late, their dinner's late, and they are notoriously, there's an unwritten rule that you don't interrupt a good, fine Parisian meal with social media or a cell phone. But that night, uncharacteristically, we saw everybody on their phones, and we mm-hmm. couldn't figure out what was going on until I started getting texts from somebody saying, are you okay, are you okay? And then we had to go back to the mm-hmm. hotel to figure out
but
that.
Yeah. My point to that was that I didn't know you were there, but that's
digress.
Interesting news. But seven of the Paris attackers that night were from the Middle East, and they came through as refugees.
And they attacked the sportsplex.
Yeah, and what it is, primarily, it's not political, or it's not about land that these people attack. The reason young Muslim men do this, that's the demographic that commit these crimes almost always. We all know this. They usually range from an age of, say, 20 to 35, and they believe that killing infidels, that is non-Muslims who believe like they believe, is pleasing to Allah. And so... And especially if they can get martyred. By martyred, I mean they get killed in an incident like this, for example, then they go straight to paradise. Now, I'm not making this up. This is what these people believe. This mm-hmm. is because you wonder, you scratch your head and you go, why on earth would a person want to die just to kill people who haven't done anything to them? That makes no sense. Well, that's right. It makes no sense unless you look at it from a theological, religious point of view, and then it does make sense. So these people aren't crazy, all right? And I don't know if this is the case with this man. This man may be mentally ill. That does happen.
Right.
But over and over and over again, we see people who are otherwise mentally stable, and you often hear after these attacks, people go, "That was the nicest guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. He was the best neighbor."
Right.
Yeah. Well, you hear that over
very
and over
quiet,
again.
Quiet, very nice, kept to himself.
You hear that over and over again, don't you? So you go, the guy wasn't nuts.
San Bernardino.
Yeah.
The guy and his wife or girlfriend went to work,
right.
Had dinner with people.
Right. They're not nuts.
Right.
They are motivated by their religious beliefs to do these kinds of acts. So
it kind of brings up the difficulty that we here in the West as a secular country where we don't have a state religion, we are fighting a battle against a religious ideology. And as Christians, we understand how deep feelings of faith can go. If we're abiding by our faith, it affects every part of our life. We don't go to the grocery store as somebody other than a Christian. So,
right.
You know, or whatever else we do. But how do you as a nation take on a religion? And that's why President Obama never would lay it at the feet of Islam. President Trump
would say it's a perverted view of Islam.
And it might be, I don't know.
But somebody needs to, we would be better served by people who would explain it like I just did.
I think
a few minutes ago politically, and just separate the Muslims who don't believe in this theology.
Right.
And there are millions of them who don't subscribe to this theology. But there are millions of them who do,
right.
And they're dangerous, and they can kill a lot of people, and that's what the president is trying to protect us against.
Indeed.
Steve, what's the website to go to?
OneNewsNow.com, OneNewsNow.com, and if you go there right now, you can find an interesting article by Michael Haverlock talking about the hypocrisy from the Democrats in the Gorsuch hearing.
Neil Gorsuch.
Neil Gorsuch confirmation hearings.
Thank you, Steve Jordahl.
My pleasure.
Steve joining us for the last few minutes. The breaking news is out of London. Go ahead.
One interesting note to add to this news is, according to vocative.com, a link from the Drudge Report, it says this attack comes on the one-year anniversary of the Brussels massacre.
Oh.
The Brussels airport massacre that happened.
That was also a Baptist, wasn't it?
Well, it was an American Baptist, not a Southern Baptist. So that's the difference.
Well, you don't know who's going to do these things. It could be a Baptist, a Lutheran, a Muslim.
That's right.
Well,
Quaker.
You don't know. There's no. We don't want to pigeonhole people.
Right.
Well, Amish.
Right. Yeah. Because listen, all religious fundamentalists are the same.
Right.
Isn't that what secular?
That's what we're told.
Say,
isn't it?
Yeah.
We don't need a profile.
Is the Amish terrorists don't use the modern timers and that kind of stuff. They have to actually light the match and the fuse.
Yes.
A little dark humor inserted.
Man, I tell you.
Into this discussion. Thank you, Steve.
You bet.
You're listening to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Alex McFarland joins us now. Dr. Alex McFarland. Good morning, Alex.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you all doing?
Doing wonderful.
You're the first person to call us gentlemen this morning. We appreciate
and
that.
And the first person, frankly, who's asked how we're doing.
Right. Who care? You care.
I've been on hold listening. A great show you guys are doing today.
Thank you. Appreciate it. But let me ask you this, Alex. Why don't you think we get more open discussion in the public from our leaders about the theology that's behind these jihadi attacks? I mean, that happen over and over. You never hear any discussion of this, or rarely. Here's what you'll hear today. Terrorists have attacked.
Mm-hmm.
It's an act of terrorism. As if terrorism exists in a vacuum.
Exactly.
Why don't you think we hear more discussion? I think it would help the public if we knew why these people acted in the ways that they do. But you never hear that. Why is that?
Well, you really don't. And, you know, it's one thing when political correctness just stifles ordinary conversation, but it's another thing when the PC thought police really puts national security at risk. And educators, elected officials, they either are unwilling or fearful about speaking the truth about Islamic terrorism and how, yes, beliefs begat behaviors. People are afraid to really lay the cards on the table because they know it goes against the politically correct party line and they'll be castigated for speaking truth.
But why do you think that? I guess I've never understood quite clearly why the truth about something is harmful.
Well,
to the knowledge of the truth is harmful to the public. And that PC seems to say, political correctness seems to say, you know, there's a higher good beyond the truth.
Right.
And that is, yes, this is, we all know this is people who are motivated by their religious, by their Islamic religious fundamentalism, if you want to call it that. But we can't talk about this. I'm trying to put myself in the mind of a PC advocate, mm-hmm. because that will castigate all Muslims, and we don't want to be general.
Sure.
So we just don't talk about it at all. We talk about terrorists. Go ahead.
Let me say, Jesus, in John 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." But people are afraid of the truth. By the way, I just moments ago, literally moments ago, I listened to Abe Hamilton III hold 2,800 students spellbound, one of the most riveting speeches I've ever heard. But Abe was talking about how Christians address the issue of homosexuality. And he said, if a preacher even really does speak on human sexuality or homosexuality, he'll preface it and he'll say, "Now listen, before I read this passage, you need to know I've got friends who are homosexuals. I've got friends, so I'm not bashing anybody." And Abe said, "You know, we don't do that. We never get up and we preach. We say, before I preach on stealing, I want you to know I've got thieves who are friends of mine. Many in my family are thieves, and I'm not bashing thieves." You know, and. The point is, whether it comes to matters of national security, Islamic terrorism, or even deviant sexual behavior, we're a culture, and may God deliver us from this, but we're a culture that we've become afraid to freely speak truth. And that is a dangerous place to be.
Well, and I think people need to understand, let me just, before I get to the point about terrorism, let me just take us back to World War II, okay? The Nazi Germany, as a strategy, wanted to conquer Europe. Their tactic was called Blitzkrieg, lightning war. So this is the way they tried to overwhelm the defenses of the countries they were attacking. Okay, so nobody identified the Nazis. They didn't talk about those Blitzkriegers, okay, because Blitzkrieg was the tactic. That was the way they tried to get their strategy to succeed. No, we identified the ideology behind the strategy that was using the tactic, and we talked about the Nazis, and we had to defeat Nazism. And to me, that's the way we should be dealing with it. Terrorism is a tactic. It's the same as Blitzkrieg in World War II.
Exactly.
It's a tactic meant, so we don't seem to think about, well, then what's the strategy? What is the ideology that uses terrorism as a tactic? Well, the ideology is radical Islam. What's their strategy? Well, they want to bring down the democratic West, and they want to force conversions. Mm-hmm. They want to so frighten Westerners that they will surrender their mm-hmm. democratic forms of government and accept Islam and come under Sharia. So mm-hmm. we're constantly talking about terrorism, and Tim brings this up many times. We talk about and try to understand why this particular terrorist did this particular terroristic act, and we simply focus on the terrorism. We simply focus on the fact that he drove a truck through the crowd in Nice, mm-hmm. France. Mm-hmm. Oh, he must have been crazy. No, that's the tactic he used. The ideology is radical Islam, but nobody seems to want to go there, except for very few people.
Let me say this. There was an article in the Atlantic.com March of 2015, but it was a great article. And the article asked the question, you know, why are leaders like the then President Barack Obama, why are they so reticent to not just say terrorism, but Islamic terrorism? And the Atlantic.com, the article was called What ISIS Really Wants. And it says something that many leaders just won't say. To fight for a worldwide caliphate, to want to subjugate the whole world in the name of Islam, that is what the faithful Muslims, true Islam, really is. It's not that the terrorists are the deviants. The Atlantic.com, not some preacher, but the Atlantic says, look, these really are the people that are living out their true faith.
Mm-hmm. That's the Atlantic?
Yeah, the Atlantic.com, and the article was called What ISIS Really Wants. I would urge people to read it.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I wanted to get to Easter. I had questions for you. We're only 3 or 4 minutes away from ending the program, so next week we can talk more about this. But we've got Easter coming up when, Alex?
Easter is coming. I should know this. Easter is coming up in just a couple of weeks. Let me say this. Bird and I, if I may, Bird and I are going to be in Oklahoma City Sunday night, March 26th, this very coming up Sunday. And we're going to be at a church called Britain Baptist Church. It's on the web. And I hope a lot of our great audience will meet us out there. And, you know, you mentioned Easter, which is the time we celebrate.
April 16th.
The greatest proof of Christianity, the empty tomb, that Jesus is the Son of God, the risen Savior, and it confirms everything we believe and hold dear, the empty tomb.
April the 16th. Now, that's is that just for the West? In other words, is that just the Catholic and the Protestant churches? What about the Orthodox?
I believe so. Eastern Orthodox is usually different. I think Alex might have been the one who said last week that once every so many years, they actually fall on the same Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be the Western Easter.
Do you know why Easter changes year to year, Alex?
They do. It's I forget how many weeks from the vernal equinox, how they determine the date that Easter is observed. It's a long story, and I can't.
Well, make something up. We got him another minute or so.
Yeah, okay.
Easter in 325 AD, AD 325, the Council of Nicaea established that Easter would be held on the first Sunday after the first full moon occurring on or after the vernal equinox. So that's what
Alex was on to something right there.
Yes, he was.
I should have known that, but Ed bailed me out. Good job.
Well, I just looked it up. I looked it up on Easter.com.
That is very, I wish we had more time to explore that, but I got to ask you, you've got an equinox, right?
Equinox.
Mm-hmm. Equinox, excuse me. What's it?
Vernal, the vernal equinox. That's like when you say, you know what I mean, Vern? if you remember that. That's the vernal.
I don't think so.
Vernal equinox.
Ed, I wanted to know what a vernal. I want to know what a vernal.
Well, I'll tell you what. Alex will know next Wednesday.
Let's explore that next week.
That's my homework assignment.
So, but seriously, that's why it changes every year.
Yes.
You have the
full moons come in a different, you know,
right,
so
times. Because, mm-hmm, you know, Christmas doesn't change. It's December 25th every
year.
Because
that's on a day.
Easter moves can move from, what, the third week in March through the last week in April. Or so. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not
And it relates to how Passover changes every year as well.
Mm-hmm. Duly noted. Thank you, Alex. What's your website if people want to know about you and Bert coming to Oklahoma City this weekend?
AlexMcFarland.com. Listen to us every day 3 to 4 on Exploring the Word. 3 to 4 Central, that is.
Yeah, 3 to 4 Central this afternoon and every weekday. Dr. Alex McFarland and Brother Bert Harper explore the Word of God, the Holy Bible, here on AFR. So check them out. Our thanks to everyone who's listening to this program today. Check us out on our Today's Issues Facebook page. My thanks to Walker and Ed and Steve and Fred. Take care, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow.